I have heard your cries. I've seen your tears. Wait upon me, saith the Lord. Yea, trust in me. Give me the opportunity to prove myself to you by waiting upon me. For you shall renew your strength, saith God, and you shall mount up with wings as an eagle, as it is written, if you will wait upon me, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I know my God is a prayer answering God. Wait upon the Lord and he will strengthen your heart, the scripture said. Can you say amen? He can't do it while we're in a panic-stricken, fretful, impatient attitude. But when we are still, listen, he said, be still. Be still. I believe he speaks to my soul with the same authority that he spoke to that ocean that was troubled by the stormy winds. Be still! The only difference is the ocean recognizes the voice of his creator and doesn't argue. You and I have a sovereign will and a free mind, Sean. But I hear him sometimes in the middle of my turmoil to say, peace, be still to my soul. Amen. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in me. That's the promise of God. Can you say amen? It's the promise of God. The problem is our minds are prone to wonder. They're easily distracted. Amen. We lose our focus. We lose our peace. Everybody say, we lose our focus. We lose our focus. We lose our peace. If you talked about all the people's troubles today, your peace is gone right now. You're going to have to go after it, try to get it back. Amen. If you prayed about the people's troubles today, the peace is reigning in your heart and your mind right now. Can you say amen? Sometimes we just talk about it. It becomes the primary issue of our conversation. Our troubles and other people's troubles, other people's failures. Who did this? Who didn't do that? Who's doing this? Who's not doing that? And suddenly you realize my peace is gone. My peace is gone. My peace is gone. My joy is gone. Because my focus is broken. He will keep them in perfect, perpetual peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Can you say amen? You need to trust God with your crazy kids. Come on, they're going to be crazy till they get saved. Give them to God. It's not a light thing. It's not that you don't care. It's you care too much to be broken to where you can't intercede for them. To be defeated so you can't believe for them. To where you lose any hope of seeing the change that God wants to bring. Praise God. Hold on. Praise God. Just hold on. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This revival, this real revival, this revival that the Holy Spirit was given to accomplish in us and through us, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters. Come on, real revival affects families, not just a few of us. Can you imagine your son, my son, your daughter, my daughter, prophesy? God wants to sweep into the church and sweep into families to breathe upon us a new breath. Praise God. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Hallelujah. And Joel said, what's going to happen when God begins to pour out his spirit is the hearts of the fathers will be turned back to the children. The hearts of the children back to the Father. Some of you have been so wounded, so disappointed, and so hurt by the chosen route of your kids. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. When I pray for you, I don't just pray for you. I pray for your crazy kids and mine. I say, Lord, bless Sean and bless Heather, and I pray those prayers over them. By the way, I don't put the two of you together. I pray for Sean, I pray for Heather, and pray for their household. their household. Because I believe God wants to move in a revival that's not just going to rekindle the flame in us, but it's going to begin to run through our households. Can you imagine just how full this church would be if just all of our friends and relatives came to the Lord? We'd have to add on to this building, run it out that way, just to accommodate the people if just our families all came in. Hallelujah. I'd love to see my grandson here serving God. He's a troubled young man. Just turned 27 years old. Don't know what in the world he's supposed to do with his life. In the process of messing it up. But when he comes to Jesus, all of that will change. Hallelujah. My son got stripped of everything. The one great, if there was an idol in his life, it was his music. It took him out of church, playing in bars and clubs. Took him far away from Jesus and the teachings that he had underneath him. But it didn't take him far enough for the Holy Ghost to find him. I said sin couldn't take him far enough that the Holy Ghost couldn't find him. Isn't it good to know the Holy Spirit can find these people, no matter how far they've wandered? Praise God. Well, he thought he was going to die because he thought he brought it on himself. But God gave him a bonus after he forgave his sin. God healed his liver. And now, you know, he lost his guitar. He lost his amplifier. He lost his wah-wah pedal. You know, all the stuff and all the chords and everything that he had just said, this is so important to me. Just to keep the lights on and food on the table, he hawked everything. And I told him, I said, Alan, now that you're back taking Jesus into your heart, he's going to change all of this stuff. He's going to restore. See, that's the glory of repentance. God won't let you repent without restoring. The story of the prodigal son is clear evidence that God restores when people repent. Amen. So they ask him, why isn't he coming online? Because he makes music with one of the ladies that he makes a music track for. She always sends him her part. Then he makes it, sends it back. They collaborate online. It's Ike Turner's daughter. She sings, and she's been wanting him. She chooses, you know, him all over other musicians around the United States. There's a guy down in Africa that he corresponds with. There's a guy in Sweden that he corresponds with. Guy in Sweden said, why don't you make music anymore with us? He said, well, I had to hawk everything. I fell on hard times. There can be no repentance without my restoration, saith God. Expect great things to occur, mighty things to happen. For I am the Lord of all flesh, and there is nothing too hard for me, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. He wants to give us a spirit of expectation. Alan called me the other day, and he said this man from Sweden said, he said, be watching the mail, because I'm sending you something sweet from Sweden. Amen. And so it actually didn't come in the mail. It went to a music shop in Clearwater. And this week he went down to a music shop in Clearwater. And there is a handmade guitar out there. It cost $1,000 to purchase it. It's one of those top-of-the-line, handmade, custom-made studio musicians can buy them for that real intricate work that they do. And he went down to pick up the guitar that had been bought from Sweden and brought from somewhere in America where it was handmade, and he brought home $1,000 guitar. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't repent without restoration. Can you say, man? He wasn't asking the Lord for nothing like that. Amen. But God gave it to him. Amen. And then he got an email saying, oh, by the way, we're going to take care of that amplifier too. So very soon he'll be going back to Sam Ash in Clearwater to pick up a paid for amplifier. Amen. And I've already got him scheduled. I said, you got to come to church because Lou Stearns wrote a song that Pamela and I harmonize on. And it's in our key. One of the few that we can sing to after all these years of raspy voices. Amen. Not so very, very long ago. Anyway, I'll save it for you. But I want my son to back us up. I want him to come and bring that guitar and bring that talent that God gave him and bring it into the house of the Lord where it belongs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is doing a work. They've been stripped of everything. They lost everything that was anything. Car, job, everything. But now the Lord is beginning to restore. And the wonderful thing about God's restoration, amen, it's a better guitar than the one he hawked. Can you say, man? Oh, by the way, the guy put a PS on there. You can't sell this one. Can you? I don't care if you're going hungry. You can't sell this one. Praise God. This has been handmade for you. We bought it for you. And don't you run to the pawn shop with that one. Praise God. God is in the restoring business. Praise God. Hallelujah. There, God shall be strengthened by that knowledge, shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Amen. One translation, I think, in the New International said they will stand fast and take action. Praise God. Not stand still and be stymied, but they will stand fast and take action. Be still and know that I am God. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In both cases, there is a peace that is permeating our heart and our life after we pray. And in that peace is where our faith is really reaching out and holding fast to his person and his promises. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee. This is the most difficult thing to do, is to stay focused in our faith when all these things are happening to us and around us. Constantly, it never lets up. But God is faithful. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. It takes a real commitment to do this, but it's worth every bit of it, because as we behold, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his power, his wisdom, his wonders, we absolutely are strengthened by that to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, to be still and know that he is God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is from Africa, the globe out there. I mean, God is just sending people from... Our list is long this week. It's very long this week. It seems to be getting longer as time goes on. Amen. From countries and places within countries, all over the world and all over the United States. Towns I've never heard of, states I've heard of, but some of these towns I have never heard of. And so God is just doing something very special with us and for us and through us. And so if he can do that on a global basis, he can begin to move. I know there's a lot of churches, a lot of people committed to particular churches, and that's wonderful. But I believe there's enough people right here in this community, amen, to fill this place to overflow and cause us to have to kick that end out and just take this building that way. Right? We would take it that way, but then we would have to bulldoze Sherry's portable and it gets wet over that way anyway. We'd head for the high ground. You know, just knock these walls out and go that way. Praise God. Amen. And just make it longer. Just build on to what we have. Praise God. God is a gracious and good God, and it's doable. If we need the space, see, we don't need the space right now. We got some room in here. Believe it or not, big as this place is, we still got empty seats. But one of these days, if we need the room, then the Lord will provide whatever we need. Amen. I'm convinced of that. Praise God. So anyway, we're looking for that. Down in South Africa, there's a mighty move of the Spirit of God. This morning, a Muslim terrorist somewhere in South Africa. There's Muslim terrorists in Africa as well. In a church service this morning, according to the news on the way to church on Moody Radio, Muslim terrorist took a hand grenade, threw it into a service where people were having their Sunday morning service. And there's some people with some serious injuries. having a service and having, can you imagine someone coming through that door and throwing a live grenade in here and it exploded and many of us being hurt very, very bad. I didn't hear of anyone killed, but there are some people that are really damaged as a result of that explosion. We are blessed here in America. We are so blessed here, but there are people that are vulnerable to these events that are Christian, and it's a Christian church. So we need to pray for our brethren. We need to understand that the Lord hears the cry of people who need help and need His protection. And we need to stand for them tonight as we stand for our families tonight. But Jehovah knows. God knows. He knows. When we pray, it is never to inform Him. Amen. It is to let Him see that our trust is in the Lord. Can you say amen? He knows, and He is our peace tonight. Praise God. And this is from South Africa, mixed together with Maranatha singers. And I think this man says it very well. Open them to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 1, I believe. Praise the Lord. I hope I haven't froze up like that froze up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many believe that His eyes are on the righteous? His ears are open to their cry tonight. Hallelujah. I love the way God distinguishes Himself from the gods who are no gods. He said, they make all of these idols. They have eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear. They have arms, but they cannot reach out and help anyone. Our God is so different from that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 18 and verse 1 for just a few moments tonight. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The whole purpose, He said, of what I'm about to tell you is to tell you you have an alternative to becoming crushed by the pressures of living in a faulty world. You have an alternative from becoming discouraged. You have an alternative to backsliding. You have an alternative to letting the flame go out within you. You have resources. Amen. That you're not using, because if you use the resources, it can't happen to you. I don't mean that you don't ask God for help. See, there's a way to pray. Whatever you ask in prayer, it's an imperative. Whatever you ask in prayer, just because you're desperate for God's help. No. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. While you're praying, that's where it's so crucial. Believe that you receive them. You can't pray and mope. You can't pray and worry. We think we can. God says, no, you can't. Because if you believe when you pray, you can't worry after you pray. If you don't believe while you're praying, then go home and wring your hands. Don't go home and raise your hands. You say, well, Brother Bimble, I haven't seen a change. Well, you can't see everything. You can't see in the spirit realm. You can't see into the human heart. What you pray starts in the spirit realm. Then it begins to move into the human heart. And you can't see either one unless God opened your eyes to that realm. But when you pray, believe. David was so convinced that God heard him. Amen. He said, the day that I pray, my enemies turn back. Hallelujah. The day I pray, that process is set in motion. And I'm sure every time he prayed, there wasn't an instant change. But he knew a change is going to come. A victory is going to be wrought. And it didn't happen on the battlefield when we faced them and fought them. It happened the day I prayed. Do you hear me tonight? It happened the day I prayed. The very day that I pray. And his love for God couldn't be because he could sense God's presence like we can by the Holy Spirit. This is in the old covenant. Amen. But the way God responded to him when he cried unto the Lord caused him to fall deeply in love with the Lord. How can you not love a God that is this benevolent, this generous, and this gracious? Can you say amen? I love the Lord, David said, because he hears my prayer. How do you know he hears? Because he answers. Can you say amen? Because he answers. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my cry, turning His ear always to me. He said, when I pray, God is the God of the whole earth. He's the God of the universe as well. But when I pray, it's me and Him. When I pray, He's not administrating His will and purposes universally. When I pray, I have His personal attention. Isn't that incredible? Amen. When you pray, you come before the throne of grace. You come before God's very own throne. And it's between you and Him at that point. Praise God. This is powerful, intimate, wonderful privileges that we have as God's covenant children. David said in that old covenant setting, amen, God comes through. God comes through. God comes through. I love Him because He listens. Bends down and listens, turns His ear exclusively to me when I pray, when I cry unto Him. He hears my cry. Amen. And then He said, things happen. Sometimes I'm terrified by the circumstances that I'm in, and I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. Can you say amen? And delivered me from all of my fears. Glory be to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was David's key to deliverance. He said, God listens when I mess up and I go in repentance and I cry out for mercy. His mercies come to me. So he said, blessed is the man. Happy to be envied is the man. A man like me, whose sins are forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Can you say amen? What the devil meant to destroy me with, God has blessed me with grace and blessed me with mercy and blessed me with restoration. Hallelujah. That's Psalm 32, verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a prayer-answering God. Men ought always to pray and never to faint. That's why, before there's a James 5:14, the laying hands on the sick, there's a James 5:13. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Teach him to pray. Tell him that God's a prayer answering God. Tell him he don't have to carry that heavy burden. Tell him he don't have to spend his whole life fretting and worrying. Tell him to pray, and then when he's done praying, tell him how to seal his faith. Tell him how to rejoice. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. At midnight, Paul and Silas, listen, they were not just serving a little bit of time here. They were just held over to the next day till they could kill them. They were scheduled for death in the morning. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and worried all night long and walked and wrung their hands. No, they prayed and sang praises. How do you know if you're praying in faith? Because you seal it with praise. As soon as you're done praying, you start thanking Him for the answer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every time I start my walk and talk and I'm interceding for you, amen, I don't just rush into the throne room. Amen. I begin with our Father which art in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to thank you for a relationship with you that Jesus provided for me through the cross, that I can call you Abba Father. Before I ask you for anything, I want to thank you that I can have this kind of intimate, personal relationship with the God of glory. The God, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity is my daddy. Spiritually and in terms of my salvation and my creator and my savior, praise God. Abba Father, our Father, not the force in the universe that's detached from me and so far from me, but my Father who is near me. Jehovah knows tonight. He knows every need. He knows every thought. He knows everything before I ask Him. So I'm not informing Him of anything. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. I used to use the illustration, and you moms know it very well. Some kids cry when they don't get their way. It irritates you. Come on, fess up. It's an irritating thing. Have you ever heard them in Kmart, Walmart? And you say, somebody, please whip that child. Amen. My mama would tell me, I'll give you something to cry about. Can you say amen? If you're going to cry like that, if you're going to be crying anyway, let's get something to really cry about. But how many know that just frustrated, agitated? I remember, I think it was Walmart, Wally World. Anyway, whatever it was, there's a lady. She had about four of those little curtain climbers, and they're all behind her, and they look so sweet and precious until, and the kids are tired because, you know, she's got diapers and she's got towels and wash rags. There's not a toy in the buggy. So, man, they really bummed out. Amen. They've had to follow mom around getting essentials and instead of getting toys, and they're bummed out. And one of them's about to have a hissy, you know, and the one kid starts throwing the hissy, and she's trying to write a check. And she has on this long dress, you know, but she's trying to write a check, and that kid is going crazy, and she tries to get him to quit. And he's grabbing on her, and he's pulling on her, and he's screaming. And it was so neat. She just grabbed him by the back of the neck, stuck him up between her legs, and clamped his head. I mean, it was funny to look at, you know what I'm saying? And continued writing the check just like, you know, no big deal. This is just part of being a mama to this this outfit here. And the kid's playing his arms like that. She got him in a, looked like one of those wrestling matches, you know. After the headlock was over, he did calm down just a tad. Can you say? I think she cut off the blood to his brain. Anyway. We know the difference, don't we, between the cry of I want my way and when your child is hurt. It takes on a different tenor. It takes on a different tone. When your child is hurt, there's a different kind of cry. And when your child is hurt, the mother that ignores and is irritated by that spoiled, rotten cry. But when a child is truly hurting, sincerely crying for help, mama's ears perk up. It's not irritating anymore. Amen. She's running to the rescue. She's not like the mom that said, if you break your leg, don't come running to me. Can you say amen? Well, that's kind of a, you have to think about that for a minute. Can you say amen? Listen to me. God hears the cry. God hears the cry. God hears me when I cry unto him. Amen. There is a prayer that is prayed in desperation. There is a prayer that is prayed so sincerely from the heart. Amen. And he said, when I pray, amen, in my personal devotionals, God hears my prayer. But he doesn't stop with listening to a prayer. In the time of great need and great trouble, I cried unto the Lord. He heard my cry as well. Somebody's talking about building your faith to such a place that you can just be calm in everything. And no. No, you just cry unto the Lord. I got a God that says, I understand your circumstance. You come running to me, and I will receive you with open arms. David said, I cried unto the Lord. He heard me, delivered me from my fears. Praise God. Fear is usually what makes us cry out to him for our children, for ourselves, our circumstance. He said, whatever it is, I want you to do that. It indicates that I'm your source. You don't have to be strong. You just have to run to me. Running to him is not running from the devil. Amen. It's not a weak thing to run to God. It's a wise thing to run to God. Hallelujah. He hears my voice. There is a prayer that is not a prayer that's in our personal devotions. He hears my prayers, or a prayer that's in our, but it's more of a prayer that is just in our communion with him. In our communion with him. He hears my voice. He knows my voice. Evangelist used to come every year to our church when I first got saved, and he used to sing a song that I related to every time he come. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again. You don't have to tell him it's you again. He knows it's you. Can you say, man? He's well aware, praise God. He knows my voice. I mean, God of the universe, when David began to pray, he said, well, there he is. That's David. I know David. I know his voice. The reason that's important is because he knows you intimately. He knows you personally. I love Nahum. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. So many judgments are coming because of disobedience, but God is still the God of mercy. He's still the God of grace. So Nahum means consoler. Real close to comforter, actually. And yet his message is a lot about judgments coming in the land. But he tells them something they need to know in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, the Lord is good. No matter how bad you are, the Lord is good. He's not going to change because of how you treat him. He's still good. He can't bless you until you come back. But if you come back, he's good. The Lord is good. And listen to this. He knows them that trust in Him. Can you say, He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Everybody say a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord is good, and He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. And He knows them that trust in Him. Literally in the Hebrew, that word for knows is He cherishes. He holds close and precious them that trust in Him. Can you say amen? Crying unto the Lord is not trying to get Him, you know, because He's too busy. He's aloof in His heaven. No, He's not. God is our refuge. God is our strength, Psalm 46 declares. A very present. Come on, He wanted to reiterate that. He wanted to get it through. A very present help in the time of trouble. You say, Brother Ben, I don't see Him. That's because God is a spirit. I don't feel Him because your emotions are raging because of the trouble. All you feel is the fear. All you fear is the trepidation. That doesn't mean that God hasn't listened. I remember this so clearly. I went to University Community Hospital to pray for a family member that was at the point of death. Red Cross had been called to call in the child that was in the service. I went up to the whatever floor he was on, and I remember the family was gathered outside. He was so close to death they wouldn't let me in because the doctor decided if anyone from the clergy comes in, he may interpret that as someone saying, "Well, it's all over. There's a clergyman, you know, so he might just give up and go on." And the whole family, you know, about a dozen of them gathered outside in that waiting room. And I said, "Well, I can't go in there. You can't even go in there now." But I said, "God can go in there where He's at." So I said, "Let's pray." I was fatigued. I'd been through a lot of things. When this call come, I wasn't prayerfully, spiritually. I didn't go in there like a ball of fire. I went in there, you know, like an old wet dish rag, just going in. But Lord, I'm trusting You. See, prayer is not based on how you feel. It's based on His faithfulness. The wonderful thing about prayer works no matter how you feel. So you can believe when you feel bad because God is still God. You don't have to feel good. Sometimes when I pray, I feel Him. I feel Him flowing through me or flowing through the prayer. Sometimes I pray, I don't feel nothing. Absolute zilch and zero. Somebody said, "Well, you ought to get another dose of the Holy Ghost." Honey, this ain't about how high I jump when I pray. It's about whether He bends down and listens. If He bends down and listens, that's what gets the prayer answered. If it's in His will, that's what gets the prayer answered. Hallelujah. And I stood out there, and I didn't pray one of those unction prayers, Brother Taylor. You know when sometimes you just feel it. But then I talked to my Heavenly Father in behalf of that person and this family, and I went on home. I got a phone call. First phone call I got was from the family member that asked me to come and pray. And they said, you know, they've canceled the Red Cross thing because the guy is on his feet and he's walking around and he's out of ICU. And God answered that prayer. And I said, well, hallelujah for that. The second call I got from another family member said, most of my family is either not saved or they're away from the Lord. And they said, and listen, now I'm feeling like an old dish rag. I mean, I believe God's listening, but, you know, I'm not feeling anything particularly. And they said, when you prayed, they could feel the presence of God. And I thought, well, boy, I sure didn't work that up. I didn't stimulate that. There's nothing in it. There's the Holy Spirit. And He let me know that prayer is not based on you feeling anything. It's based on God's faithfulness. Amen. So pray when you don't feel like. Pray when you don't feel like God is listening. Pray when you don't see any results. Pray when it doesn't look like there's any change. It must have been hard to march around Jericho 6 times while they hurled insults at them. Can you say amen? And then on the seventh day to march, so many times with insults being hurled at them. Praise God. It must have been hard for everybody in unison to take God at His word and shout. For God has given you the victory. That's not normally how we do things. When the walls fall, I'll shout. Ain't going to be no hypocrite. Bless God. I ain't going to act like I got victory when I don't. Hallelujah. At least I'm no hypocrite. You wouldn't have shouted. You wouldn't have shouted. The devil's deathly afraid that we're going to start praising God for the answer. Because we're so convinced God is going to send it. maybe you're not in a position to receive an answer, and the devil's got you over in that area, where if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But if our heart condemns us not, listen to this, we have confidence toward God. The devil wants to get you to, either by sins of omission or commission or blending of the two, to put you in a position where you don't believe that God will listen because of something that you have done or you haven't done or you needed to do and you didn't do. I got good news for you. God allows for U-turns. Say it with me tonight. God allows for U-turns. Amen. If you know you're on the wrong road, for heaven's sakes, man, come on. What's the matter you? Can you say amen? You didn't know I could talk Italian, did you? Praise God. Amen. I know a lot of Italian. Amen. Rigatoni, spaghetti. I can go on and on tonight. Amen. Listen to me. God allows for U-turns. God allows for U-turns. Create in me. Amen. David said, I can't stand it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Amen. I need God to come through. I can't let anything stand in my heart from my prayers being answered. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51, and renew a right spirit in me, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Salvation in the old covenant was not the saving grace of the new covenant. It's not being saved as we know it, born again. It's being back right with God to where you pray, God listens. God delivers. Hallelujah. Salvation in the old covenant means when God comes and delivers. He delivers. He delivers you from your enemy. He delivers you. Praise God. David said, I want to know that again. When I faced a giant and the giant fell. Wow! What joy! Can you say amen? When I faced the giant of my own failure and sin, and God forgave me, wow, I was delivered. I want to know the joy of your deliverance again. I want to know the joy of what? Answered prayer. Hallelujah. The Bible said, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound will never be heard, that sound of rejoicing. Until God begins to answer prayer. He begins to move in our life, our families, supernaturally. I want you to know the devil has fought tooth and toenail. I've had battles with oppression and depression since we have been committing ourselves to pray. Since there have been indications that God is listening, things have begun happening in my family. 38 years of alcohol, 38 years old, delivered from how many years of alcohol? 38 years of alcoholism. A 49-year-old son. Amen. Delivered from alcoholism. That's an answer to prayer. That's God showing his salvation. Can you say amen? That's God showing up and showing out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The liver damaged. Maybe 6 months is what my son is reading between the lines of the doctor's prognosis. Son, you've drank too many years. There's so much damage. The liver function is so very, very low. Amen. You were telling me about this. You tell me about liver functions and when they're... Anyway, we were discussing... Somebody here has got a medical background enough to know that when the liver function is so bad, the liver just doesn't rejuvenate. It just doesn't come back. I mean, it doesn't do that. It's a different kind of organ in your body. But when God healed the liver, amen, as well as, amen, the other, and now he's begun this material restoration. But see, the $1,000 guitar, that's not it. He said, Dad, I didn't have to have that. He said, it's just that I know the Lord is restoring. He didn't expect it. He don't even feel he deserves it. Amen. But he's crying and he's saying, look, you know, if I just have a roof over my head, some food in my stomach, and Jesus is my king. I mean, it's all changed. This world has changed, Sean. Amen. It's not if I can be a hot guy on a guitar and go out here and wow the world. No, if I can just have food in my stomach and a roof over my head, and Jesus is my king. Jesus is my king. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't want it to stop. I want him to get in church now, get rooted and built up in Christ. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. The heart of the father has been turned back to the child. The heart of the child has been turned back to the father. Amen. And I can't get out of the yard that he don't run out and say, have a good day. Somebody you haven't seen for years, been alienated from. And to see my son, amen, coming out just to wave bye-bye to daddy. 49-year-old guy waving bye-bye to daddy. I back up. I'm going out of the yard. Have a good day. I say, there's my little boy. I got my little boy back, finally. Can you say, man, Sean? God has been with this family. When he fell out of that boat, if God didn't help you, help him. Sean wouldn't be here today. Amen. But daddy, that daddy and this daddy, amen, wanted him to be here today. Amen. Because I had a funeral for a guy with four of his brothers. They all skipped school. The youngest one with them, they went to a phosphate pit to swim on a hot summer day. Skip school, go swimming. They're out there swimming in one of these big faucets. They're very deep, these pits are. Amen. And the one, the youngest one, amen, couldn't swim. But they told him, you stay up. Don't come out at all. You just stay right there. But he wanted to go out with his big brothers. And he went out where they were, and he went under. And they went after him like your daddy went after you, reaching for him. They said, his big brother said, I touched the tip of his fingers. But I couldn't feel him any further. I couldn't find him. And they dove and they dove and they dove in that murky, dark water. It was so deep and so dark, and they couldn't find him, and he was lost. They finally found him, his body, a day later, or that day later that day. But he was gone. Amen. But listen to me. God intervened. And it wasn't just this father being lucky. We use that word too loosely as Christians. It has nothing to do with luck. It's not the roll of the dice. It's not the spin of the wheel. It's a God in heaven that has a plan and purpose for our life. Can you say, man, how did you find him? You just grabbed him and yanked him back in. He fell out of the boat. How old was he? 16 months. What is he doing in a boat? At 16 months, you just might be a redneck. Can you say, man? At least put one of those baby carrier things and strap him in. Yeah, she's going to straighten it out here and defend him. Can you say, man? Slap him again like you did when he got home. Anyway, no, don't do that in church. Wait till you get out there. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God delivered me from drowning. My aunt saw me going under. Amen. The other family wasn't watching me whatsoever. And I was going under. I mean, I was going under, and I couldn't swim. And my meemaw, my great-grandmother, saw me floundering and saw me just come to. See, I had a snorkel, and I had to dive, you know, but I couldn't swim. I could swim underwater. But if I got in deep water, I didn't know how to do anything. But I was drowning, and I thought it was all over. My lungs bursting for air. I fought to the surface one last time, and my great-grandma, God spoke to her. She said, God spoke to me. He said, Bobby's in trouble. Everybody else thought I'd just swim along in shallow water. There's a huge drop-off, and I went right out into it. Amen. She said, the Lord spoke to me and said, Bobby's in trouble. Bobby's in trouble. And she hollered at my aunt, who's a good swimmer. Amen. She said, Bobby's in trouble! And she jumped in and came to me and yanked me out just in time. Praise God. I'm telling you, we serve a wonderful, wondrous, mighty, powerful, all-knowing Heavenly Father. Praise God. And He loves you tonight. He loves me tonight. He loves to answer prayer tonight. So He said, listen, men are always to pray and not to faint. He said, I want you to know the whole purpose of this parable is to keep you from becoming discouraged in prayer. Because if you don't get discouraged in praying, you will not faint in your heart, no matter what you're facing. Can you say amen? So the devil knows that. And he's going to fight us. He's going to fight us tooth and toenail to keep us from being consistent in prayer. Because he knows God is faithful. Amen. He knows God is faithful. He knows God is all powerful. He knows God loves us. He knows His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open. And if we keep praying consistently, things are going to happen that are nothing less than supernatural. Amen? He knows he can't stop God when God's ready. There's no way to stop Almighty God. So what does he do? All of his energies, all of his devices are focused on you and me. Discourage Robert so he don't pray for his son anymore. Discourage Terry so he don't pray anymore. Discourage Dale so she don't pray anymore. Say it's useless, it's hopeless. Jesus said, no, it isn't. Listen to what Jesus said. This is the reason for the parable. There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. There are people that have quit God because they gave up on him coming through in answer to prayer. They prayed, it didn't go their way. They gave up on God. They got bitter and they went back. Can you say amen? God said, I am coming. I will avenge my own. There's another story about importunity. And it's about a man that had turned in. He's locked the door. His family are in bed. His neighbor has visitors coming that he wasn't prepared to receive. They didn't have Circle K's in those days. You couldn't run down to the all-night Wally World. Walmart, I call it Wally World. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. There's nowhere to get food. And they're hungry. They're tired. He goes to his neighbor and beats on the door. He says, I'm in bed. My children are in bed. Come back tomorrow morning. Amen. And the guy said, no, I can't do that. They're hungry tonight. He keeps on beating on the door. And the guy realizes he's going to beat on that door. I'm not going to be able to go to sleep. The best thing I can do is give him what he wants so I can go to bed. Can you say amen? And because of his importunity, you know what that means? That means continual knocking. Continual knocking. He said he received. Now listen, God is not like that. God is not resistant, reluctant. But God is God. Amen. Prayer is not overcoming his reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. Praise God. But God works in the timing that we don't get a lot of times. He works in ways that we don't understand. But he always works. And David said, you know something? These enemies keep coming. What they don't know is the day I prayed. Amen. The forces that are sending them in the heavens are already defeated. Amen. Because we've defeated them on that level, we can defeat them down here on the physical level. Can you say amen? Men ought always to pray and not to faint, to give up, give in, give over. Amen. And let the devil continue to rob and steal and destroy. Praise God. Are you encouraged to pray tonight? I'm encouraged to pray when I don't feel like it. I'm encouraged to pray when I don't see any changes in the immediate sense. I believe that God has heard my cry. I believe he's seen my tears. I believe he's heard my voice. I believe he's heard my prayer. I believe God is going to move in many of your lives. Praise God. I believe God is going to move in hearts that have lost the first love. I believe that. Can you say amen? I believe he's already doing it. Praise the Lord. I believe right now little flames, little embers are being fanned into flame. I believe in revival. Praise God. And I believe it comes as a result of intercessory prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm praying for your lost loved ones and mine. I believe God's going to bring them in. I believe God's going to bring my daughter-in-law in. I believe he's going to bring my grandchildren. I hardly know them, but I'm getting to know them better. Praise God. And the relationships are being restored that have been broken, that have been broken, that have been broken and severed in years until you look at your own flesh and blood and it doesn't even seem like your family or even a close friend. But now it's all coming back. It's all coming back. I wanted to live to see it come back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what your situation is, but I believe you have needs in your life. And if you start praying again, amen, and pray this time with a resolve to keep it up consistently. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew, you know, he's got issues. That's why he got some real issues. He somewhere along the line that there was some damage somewhere. And Matthew has these. And I care for him. He was listening to a good TV preacher the other night. And he says, if you don't have a place to pray, find one. Take your Bible and meet with God consistently somewhere where it's just you and God. Amen. And he's getting ready to find a place in his little bitty tight apartment to take his Bible. And he said, Dad, I could just sit down right there, couldn't I? And I could talk to Jesus and I could read the Word and I could come there every single day. Amen. And I said, absolutely. I said, he would love to meet with you there. Praise God. He said, I can read that. I can read good. I can read the Bible. I said, then let's get it on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's get in that closet. And I said, why are you in there? Pray for me. Amen. I've been praying for you for a long time. You get in there and pray for Daddy. Amen. Let's get this thing on. The hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers back to the children. God said, I want your families too. Hallelujah. I want the hard cases. Listen, prayer, oh my behost, nothing is beyond the reach of prayer but that is beyond the will of God. I want to say it again, nothing is beyond the reach of prayer but that is beyond the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something about the will of God. It's not his will that any perish, but that everlasting life. When I intercede for souls, all heaven comes into view. My resources come by the Spirit of God. I believe souls are going to be saved. I believe blind eyes spiritually are going to pop open, and I believe shackles are going to break, because I believe God answers prayer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And I believe when enough people are saved, filled with the first love, come into this building, we'll have all the resources we need to extend this building. Amen? Amen? God is a gracious God and a good God today. Pick up that mantle to pray. Pick up that prayer. Shake those old prayer bones again. Lay hold of the horns of the altar. Praise God. Because God wants to do two things. He wants to help you and me because he loves us. And he wants his name that's associated with us. He wants to distinguish himself from the gods who have eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, and arms that can't touch. He wants to distinguish himself. How's he going to do it? Because God is going to answer prayer for his covenant people. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to pray tonight? Praise God. Pray without ceasing, for I am listening, saith the Lord. I am waiting. Pray, I say unto thee, that I may move in your behalf. Pray, for my eyes are searching for those that I can show myself strong for, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand to your feet? I started on my prayer walk. My wife called me and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your walk. I said, well, I hadn't started the prayer part yet. I want to get past the pit bulls. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And they're not like old chocolate. If I knew them as well as I know old chocolate, I'd just go over and pet them on the head. But these bad boys, I don't think are like chocolate. Y'all just loved on him till he just got this big old heart and wants his head scratched. But there's some of them out there that they want a piece of me, I can tell. And I really can't start praying until I get past the pit bulls. So I'm watching, not watching and praying, I'm just watching. Because one of them had a leash and it didn't look too strong. There's a 6-foot fence over here. There's a little dog comes out just before I get past the dogs. There's a little dog comes out. And he says, that little dog is going crazy, but I can take him. He's one of those snowball dogs. Like, you know, he's a little white dog about that big. He might bite your ankle, but I could drop him like a football if I had to. I wouldn't want to, but if I had to. But there's a pit bull over here. And there's a 4-foot fence like you're talking about. But he's tethered. The dog is tethered. But what he's tethered on don't look too strong. And he's looking at me like, boy, if I get out of here, I'm going to come after you. And I'm looking at that 6-foot fence over here with a little dog behind it. And I thought, if you come after me, I can. I know I'm 65, Sean, but I can scale that 6-foot fence. That pit bull can't jump it, but I can. No, I can't jump it, but I can jump up and grab it. Kick my shoes off. Put my toes in that fence. I climb that bad boy and jump on the other side and drop kick that little dog. Save my skin, can you say? But you really can't pray while you're having to watch your back until you get past them all. When I get past them all, then I can pray. So she called while I'm in, you know, getting past the dogs and everything, getting out to where there's nothing to distract me. And I said, that's okay. That's okay. I'm getting by the dogs right now. I haven't started praying yet. She said, well, honey, I didn't mean to bother you. I didn't know you were on your prayer walk. She said, don't ever let me. She's beginning to understand how vital this is. Don't ever let me interrupt your prayer walk. She said, because I feel safe as long as you're praying like that. I feel safe as long as you're praying like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We ought to feel safe when we're praying like that because we have a God who is listening. Can you say amen? Did you get anything out of this teaching tonight? Are you encouraged to pray again? Amen. To continue to knock. Here's the last challenge. Jesus said, ask. See, God wants to move. God wants to help us because he loves us. God wants to help us because he wants to distinguish his name. Can you say amen? Among the gods who are no gods. And he does it by answering the prayers of his people. Ask that you might receive. Seek that you might find. Knock that it might be opened unto you. Oh, he's not done. He's not done. For everyone that asks, you understand, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you've got to put your faith in there. You've got to be consistent. Everyone of my covenant children that asked, what happened? They receive. Everyone that seeks finds. Finds what? What they're after? No, finds who they're after. If you need healing, seek the healer. Oh, if you need deliverance, seek the deliverer. Hallelujah. If you need help, seek the helper. And when he comes, he brings that need with him. Can you say, man, you'll find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There's the importunity. That's that consistency in coming. I'm here. I'm not showing a lack of faith by continuing in prayer. I'm showing that my faith is strong. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep praying because I believe you're listening. And I believe you're looking. And I believe the answer is being expedited. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody in here that needs answers to prayer tonight, raise your hand. Let him see it tonight. I need answers to my prayers. Amen. Well, God needs to answer prayer to help us and to glorify his great name. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray tonight. And we pray tonight. Lord, I'm seeing you move in the life of my children. And it looked hopeless and I felt so helpless. And it seems that prayer sometimes, honestly, is so useless when we see no change. And time continues to pass and the devil chides us and he mocks us and he says, God will not hear. Where's your God now? Why doesn't your God answer you? But, oh, Lord, you're the mighty God, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Father, there's nothing too hard for you. You heard every prayer. You are listening tonight. In your timing, answers are going to come if we will not give up and give in and give over. Glory be to God. Father, we pray tonight for our children, our loved ones, our friends. We pray for backsliders tonight. We pray for households tonight. We pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that healing would occur in bodies that need your touch tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are under persecution. We pray for our own hearts when they become callous, cold, indifferent, distracted, and discouraged. We come back to rebuild the altars. We come back to rebuild the altars, Father, to restore that has fallen by the wayside. We pick it up again. 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 Is any afflicted? He's got an alternative. Ah, let him pray. Let him pray. Hallelujah. Shalabakisala. Hallelujah. Enter into your closet. Shut to the door. He that sees in secret will reward you openly. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to close with this song tonight. Let's just praise Him right where you are. I don't know when. I don't know how. Amen. But I know that God is listening. He sees your need tonight and mine. He loves us tonight. Praise God. Amen. And there's a joy that's going to come into this camp, this group of people, into our homes and our lives as the joy of answered prayer. When we see these things, hallelujah, begin to happen in our lives. Praise God. What joy. What shouting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't give up on your healing. Don't give up. Don't try to figure it out. Praise God. Just take it to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Prayer bells from heaven. Oh, how sweetly they ring, bearing our message unto Jesus our King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, ring on and on, for He will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer bells from heaven. Praise God. Praise God. When you feel a little prayer wheel churning, you know a little fire is burning, and just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. Can you say amen? These are not little sentimental songs. This is good theology. Can you say amen? Based on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift Him up. He wants to defend us tonight. Hallelujah.